What's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is the Vertical Base podcast. We're going to be talking about some WWE, and that's about it. You want to add anything to that, Daniel? I'm Cameron, and my co-host is...
Daniel Jebediah Cochran.
Yes. Okay. So, let's jump right in to the first topic. So we have a list here, but I think the first topic should be what the fuck is gonna happen with the women's match at WrestleMania.
Oh, Jesus, man. I was a big fan of women's wrestling because I like women's wrestling because I think it's a good opportunity to show off, you know, the equality behind it.
Yeah, quote unquote equality.
Did they fuck that up? The female wrestlers are untalented. Well, a lot of them are untalented. Little mic skills.
They got like they have like six divas on the roster, and the only good one, in my opinion, is Alexa Bliss, but she hasn't wrestled.
The rest of the divas are like in NXT here. They have quite a bit of them, but you just don't know any of them because they never show them. They're all
they put it's Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Ronda Rousey. Those are the only divas in WWE, according to WWE.
Yeah, and Asuka. Asuka.
Well, she was her story's over now. She lost the title. Yeah. They're never gonna push her again.
Yeah, and she was over with the crowd. The crowd liked her. But they decided they were going to...
She was charismatic. She was probably the best face diva that they had. Because now for some reason, they're going with this storyline that every diva is a heel.
Yeah, I realized that. And it is weird. And then going with... The rule has always been the Royal Rumble winner will always
get the main event.
The main event in WrestleMania for a championship. Now, I understand that they did have a women's Royal Rumble, and technically a Royal Rumble is still a Royal Rumble winner is still main eventing it. But the problem is
it's a one-on-one match.
It's supposed to be a one-on-one match. And instead, they throw it into a triple threat. Now, they did do this a few years ago with Daniel Bryan. But the thing about that is WWE was not breaking its own set of rules. That happened because the fans pretty much forced it. The plan was going to be a one-on-one. Actually, I've heard that the plan was going to be that Batista was going to win. And that's how it happened. He was going to beat, I believe it was Randy Orton at WrestleMania, but the WWE fans... They love Daniel Bryan so much, but this, no one likes them. No one likes Charlotte or Ronda Rousey or whoever. Who's the other person?
Becky. People used to like Becky, but they turned her heel. She is a face. She is not a heel. She is not good at being a heel. She is probably the least intimidating diva in the entire roster.
I like to imagine the divas that... You know, I will like and I'll put over as being good faces, being good heroes. Because then whenever I just see a heel diva, they all act the same. And there's no big difference. Like a heel diva, how to be a heel diva is just betray your friends, backstab, and then call people bitches pretty much. And that's it. That's all they do. There's no major storylines behind it.
Yeah. I saw, I think it was, either the last SmackDown or Raw I watched, I saw Beth Phoenix was on there, and she's, looks like she's getting something in a storyline.
Oh, yeah, Beth Phoenix used to be the shit back then.
Yeah, it looks like she's about to get a storyline.
I'd rather they push her again.
Yeah, just start taking out the retired ones. Like,
yeah,
make the Diva division good again.
Yeah, bring back AJ Lee and Paige.
I don't think AJ Lee's going to come back. She's married to the Punk. I don't think they'll legally let her back.
No. Or bring back the Bella Twins. They were good.
Yeah. They were okay. And she's going to go and break John Cena's heart. in the entire man's career.
What makes it so much more confusing is, didn't Charlotte win the Royal Rumble?
I didn't pay attention to the women's Royal Rumble.
Because I know before the WrestleMania match, they made Charlotte win the championship.
They've been trying to... Charlotte has been pushed for the past 3 years.
Because she's Ric Flair's daughter. Yes. That is it. That's it.
That's her storyline. Ric Flair's daughter.
Yeah. She's not that... She is
good at it, but like,
it's like a Roman Reigns scenario.
Yeah, let someone else do it.
Yeah.
Let an undercard do it.
Yeah, with so many faces, so many new superstars in the Diva division, and the fact that only about six of them are even can be named, and the rest are just jobbers going against each other. It says something. You can choose any one of those.
Yeah, they had that. They had that beat the clock match on. I'm pretty sure it was Raw. They had the beat the clock match, and two of those superstars. Divas. I've never heard of.
They could easily put any of those over. It's not a hard thing to do with the WWE universe. Just make her a hero, I guess.
Yeah.
Make her do something that people will actually care about.
I say they shouldn't do a women's Royal Rumble because they already have one Royal Rumble to keep up with. And that's already, clearly the card. It's a good card. The WrestleMania card is solid. It's just, according to all the rules and storylines, it's not a good card.
Yeah.
If you've never followed WWE, it's an amazing card. If you follow WWE, you're confused.
Yeah. See, I love the fact that they're now pushing... I love the fact that they're pushing Divas to the top. But my problem is, this was the wrong era to do it. Let's say they did this, what they're doing now, Women's Royal Rumble, Women's Money in the Bank, a whole women's pay-per-view. Let's say they did that back in 2010.
When there's people 2012? Like Kelly and like...
Kelly, you got Katrina.
Yeah,
when they had
like Summer Rae,
Beth Phoenix. Yeah, Summer Rae. Back when they had true talent, they had an equal number of face and heels, and with good mic skills.
Yeah,
this would be perfect. This would all work.
Amazing push.
But now they have just a bunch of bad divas playing as bad guys,
such as Ronda Rousey.
Yes, Ronda Rousey. I kind of understand why they would put her in the main event. Like, oh, look, it's Ronda Rousey, guys. But no one cares about Ronda Rousey as a wrestler anymore.
My very strong opinion is Ronda Rousey does not belong in the WWE.
She really does not.
Ronda Rousey is an MMA fighter. She is not a WWE wrestler. She cannot do promos correctly. I hear there's like stuff where she doesn't know how to fight without actually hurting her opponent, which is why as soon as their opponents get put in an armbar, it's an instant tap because she doesn't know how to do it where it's not going to hurt. But
she's a fighter.
The only MMA superstar that is good in WWE is Brock Lesnar, and that's because he started with WWE.
And I will say Bobby Lashley. Wait, what happened to Bobby Lashley?
He just disappeared.
Is he wrestling anymore? I remember when they were putting him back. I loved it. Because I was like, they're going to do Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. And that was a huge letdown. It wasn't even that good. Like, I really don't understand it. So, yeah, this was a great opportunity, but it's too late. They lost all the talent in their Diva division, and now they're starting to, I guess, rejuvenate it with all these new things. But the bottom line is, the talent nowadays It's just not what it used to be.
Yeah.
It's bad timing. Who I think should main event WrestleMania. I heard Daniel Bryan is going to be in fighting Kofi Kingston in the WWE Championship match.
Let me interrupt you for a second, dude. Bobby Lashley's Intercontinental Champion. I just remembered that.
Oh, that was so stupid of me.
Yeah, he's Intercontinental. All right, continue. Damn. Yeah, Kofi's in the main event now after losing it and then like, okay, you can have it. Daniel Bryan him against Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. That's going to be really – I think that should be the main event of WrestleMania because, one, everyone loves Daniel Bryan. Who is not going to – everyone's going to cheer for him. Doesn't matter if you're a fan or not. When you see him come out, you're going to be like, yeah, yeah, what the hell's going on? But you're going to love him. And then diehard WWE fans know how long Kofi Kingston has deserved this. Yeah. He has always been a solid competitor. Maybe at times not as good as he could be, but he was always fun to watch. And I think it's finally his time.
I remember that Royal Rumble. It was like 2010 or something. But he just couldn't get his feet on the ground. Like he was
doing handstands and stuff.
He was doing handstands. He was standing on the barricade. He couldn't get down. And it was – I remember he had a run. Didn't he have a run as Intercontinental Champion back in that era too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good run. But I
never gave him the big shot. Finally getting it.
My thing.
And I think personally that they're going to give him the championship just because. Because why would they let Daniel Bryan retain it?
I don't know. I thought Daniel Bryan done retired twice. Like, he shouldn't be wrestling, dude. Like,
yeah. Well, he finally got his neck cleared again.
Yeah, how long he's going to retire again, though? Another 3 months, and he's like, "I gotta retire. I gotta vacate the championship."
Who's the Money in the Bank holder right now for the men? Or did he already cash it in?
No clue. I didn't pay attention to Money in the Bank. I can look it up.
I'll look it up right now. You just keep on talking about Kofi.
My thing with the Kofi Kingston thing is though that night that he won, and then Vince McMahon's like, you gotta go against Daniel Bryan. That's kind of out of character for Daniel Bryan.
it really is.
He's supposed to be like the nice guy that helps out the underdogs, but he just destroyed Kofi. Like, I didn't watch the match because I was busy that night, so I didn't get to watch SmackDown. But I saw everything on the WWE Twitter and stuff.
Okay, so I found it was Braun Strowman has it. Braun Strowman won it. But he's already cashed it in a while back against Brock Lesnar, and I believe he won it. But I'm looking here. It says Alexa Bliss.
That's
Money in the Bank.
Yeah, Alexa Bliss.
So do you... Has she cashed it in yet?
Wasn't she already the champion? Because I remember Alexa was the champion for so long. And I loved it. Braun Strowman, why would they give him Money in the Bank? He's not really a championship contender. He's a big guy. He's a squash match type guy. Do you see that?
We don't need another Brock Lesnar out there.
Do you see that they're making Colin Jost and Michael Che from... All right, we're...
Sorry about those.
We're having technical difficulties. We're new to this, and you're going to have to work with us for the first few episodes, probably. But anyway, Colin Jost and Michael Che are going to be in the Andre the Giant Battle Royale.
Who are they?
They're on Saturday Night Live. They're the Weekend Update guys. They're pretty funny.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they did something stupid. It's a bad storyline, honestly.
I have seen reports. It's just reports that the WWE may have interest in Robert Gronkowski after That's not even a joke. You can look it up. They have interest in Gronk. It's true. After he retired from the NFL, apparently it came out that Vince McMahon was looking into hiring him. Most of his probably like a celebrity guest star, probably gonna fight like in the Memorial Battle Royale or make a surprise appearance like he did a few years ago. But he'd have like a role for like a whole month. I'm gonna be someone's manager or something. It'd be something small, but it'd still be cool. I saw did you see the year that he did go into the Battle Royale? How whenever he was supposed to come in through the barricade, the security guard didn't know.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And she tried to stop him. Yeah, she was like, "You gotta stop," and he was arguing with her, like, "No, this is my spot. You gotta let me in." She almost ruined that whole spot. And yeah, to be honest, it looked like it really hurt when Gronk hit that guy.
Yeah, they're gonna have to teach him how to do it, but he's probably fucking used to concussions.
Yeah. Yep. Pull a Chris Benoit.
It's too soon, dude.
So, I was looking through WWE top 10, failed storylines and shit. And I saw this one that I think was interesting. His name was Muhammad Rabdul, I believe. He was supposed to be pretty much a Muslim fighter or Islamic wrestler.
Don't they already have Sabu?
Yeah, but see, he was more political, I guess. But here was his problem. One, it's America, but his main storyline was that, he was Islamic, but he would always call out people for the complete blaming of an entire religion. Like, it wasn't just about him, but he'd be like, "You judge me and my people because of our religious stuff." So it was completely political and stuff.
What,
that was their one problem.
What era was this? This wouldn't fly now.
This was like 2006, 2007. All
right, okay, that makes sense, because that's not going to happen this day.
Yeah, it was the same. Apparently, he debuted the same day that the British buses were bombed by Muslim terrorist groups.
Oh, no, dude.
Yeah, so whenever he came out, Britain just been bombed, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm all right." But here's the worst part. Not only, were people going to not like him because he's defending all that, he was portrayed as a bad guy. He was the bad Islamic dude. And he was a heel who was demanding that you not hate his religion or his people. And then what made matters worse is that one of his special things, which is like a lights out, like the lights would flick off, and then his special thing is that it would be terrorists. I'm not kidding you. Terrorists would surround the wrestler and beat him up. They wore camo pants, a black sweater, and a black ski mask. Yes, they would wear that, and he would summon them by praying. He would get down on his knees and he'd do the praying thing that Muslims do at their mosque. He would just sit there at the entrance, the entrance arena. He'd get down, pray, lights would go out. Opens up, there'd be like John Cena surrounded by four terrorists who would beat him up. And then the next night, he'd be like, "Why do you hate my religion? We're not bad. We're not terrorists."
And then when you said, "Try this."
Yes, and he was only a wrestler for, I think, 4 or 5 months, and they finally abandoned it.
That's 4 or 5 months too fucking long.
It really was. Like, I wonder what they thought, making him a bad guy first off, and then making him summon terrorists by praying. That is not a good idea.
Dang, dude. Alright, let's move on to topic number four on the list, because we already hit many topics. Topic number two on the list. What do you think of the current state of WWE?
I think that
I mean, we kind of adjust.
This is going to sound fucking stupid. I think that there needs to be a new management come in, actually. And this isn't... I love Vince McMahon, yes, but there's... It's all known that everything that happens, Vince McMahon gets the final say in. Really, what happens is the story writers, they'll come up with something, they'll run it to the superstars, and the superstars will be like, yes, so they'll make changes, and then it goes to Vince McMahon if they can approve the changes. So really, he decides exactly what will go on. And recently, with kayfabe...
I think he's too old and he forgot what he already has done and what he hasn't, so he can't follow any stories anymore.
I just think kayfabe should be a thing again. I really wish kayfabe was back to how it was.
Because
now everyone breaks kayfabe, changes a storyline, face or heels every 5 fucking seconds.
My thought
you were saying
is there. I think some of the storylines could work. They just have the wrong people in them. They need to push. They have a roster of what, like over 100 people, probably. I don't know the exact size of the roster. Yeah. I know it's big. It's big because of all the NXT that they added. Push them. Stop making them jobbers. If you're gonna make a jobber, make a comedy jobber like Mizdow was.
Yeah.
Like Santino was.
Oh my God, Mizdow was so good. Santino was like a jobber.
But he started out as a jobber.
Not a jobber.
And then they're like, okay, we're gonna let. This was probably one of their only original stories, or not stories, but thoughts. They're like, he's a jobber. People like him. What if we not jobber?
Yeah. I remember his first match, he immediately won the Intercontinental Championship. Or no, it's the United States Championship.
Yeah,
and he's a jobber who's won a lot of championships for no reason.
Like, push R-Truth, please. We want to see him. Or at least I
confused championships.
I know you do. I do. I think a lot of people, they could write something really hilarious and make WWE funny again instead of trying to take these big, bad superstars who are like the tough, funny guy when they're not. Take R-Truth and genuinely make him confused about what championship he's holding. So he'll come out with the WWE champion and he'll be like, I am the greatest U.S. champion to ever live.
He'll come out with the WWE Championship and it'll be like, but whoever the WWE Champion is, I'm coming for you. Because this Intercontinental Championship is not enough for me. You know, just start crying about it.
Have him come out in the middle of, like, say Brock Lesnar retains after WrestleMania, which I hope to God he doesn't. But Brock Lesnar retains and Kofi... No. If R-Truth was WWE champion. Have like the Intercontinental champion going against someone at a pay-per-view, and Kofi runs in with the WWE champion and tries to cash it in like a Money in the Bank.
That'd be beautiful.
He just runs into the ref and hands him the title, and the ref's just looking at him, just like, "Time out there, chief." That's a story.
R-Truth
that
would be
I
the one. R-Truth would be the one to try to cash in a Money in the Bank in a match with two wrestlers who don't have championships. Like, they were two past champions. Like, he hears that John Cena and Triple H are fighting, so he tries to cash it in on them.
And then they have to explain, like, there's no champions in this match. He's like, well, one of them is 16-time, and one of them's however many Triple H has.
Yeah. It's fucking beautiful.
R-Truth hasn't done anything in a while. He used to be in that tag team with Goldust. Now he's gone.
Yeah.
But that moves on to the next segment. Good promo and story ideas. And we obviously just listed a couple.
I honestly think that R-Truth should have a storyline where he accidentally shoots someone. Like,
This sounds stupid. Why don't you run this in your head? Why don't you just set up a lot of stuff? I want him to accidentally somehow not really shoot someone, but seriously injure someone. And I want to see him try to comprehend in his head that he did. I want to see him sit there and be like, well, it wasn't my fault, or like, you know, my bad. I want to see him do something like that.
Just watch him do something serious and have to actually suffer consequences for it, but he doesn't understand how to suffer the consequences.
Yeah, he'll come, they'll suspend him for a week for, you know, dropping something on someone's, I guess, like, let's say he knocks over someone who's on a ladder, breaks their arm or something. So they suspend him for a week, and he comes back the next show, and, like, he completely forgot about it. It'd be beautiful.
I think, since you had a weird story like that, what if they had a story where all the divas came out and started claiming sexual assault against Vince McMahon?
That sounds like something to actually do, actually.
That's why it would work, because it sounds believable. And it, let's be honest, it's probably true.
It definitely is. Remember back when Vince McMahon used to make people kiss his ass, literally?
Yeah.
Like, he used to strip down in the middle of the ring, and as the female's husband and kids watch, they see their mom just kiss their boss's head.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
All right, so I'm pretty sure we've got the promos and topics. It's pretty much just a bunch of R-Truth shit because he's great. But
another thing, I want to see John Cena have like a revival. I want to see a rematch between Undertaker and John Cena that wasn't a squash match, because that was just a much single night for like how long was it? 2 months before WrestleMania was even there, because it started off as fans just talking about it, and he even on Twitter and stuff was like, you know what, I'll do it. And then the month before WrestleMania, they decided to let him go out there, and every single night he talked so much trash about Undertaker. He called him weak. He called him scared. He said, "Be a man and come out here and fight me," and it was wild. Every single night, it was something that you really didn't hear of John Cena, because he's a good guy. But every night he was out there saying that Undertaker was scared, that he needed to do this, they needed a fight. And there was no words like, oh, it's not happening. And then WrestleMania hits, and boom, it actually happens. And everyone's like, oh my God, it's actually happening. They hit it so well. It was so good. And then it's a squash. Undertaker choke slams him twice, and Tombstone match over. Like, it was terrible. It was such a letdown. And after that, they didn't have any story. You'd think that it would be like John Cena tries to come back, and, you know, like, I declare a rematch or something. But no, that was it. After that happened, they just shut it down. They pretty much said to the WWE Universe, like, you know how you wanted the match? Well, we gave you the match. That's all you get. You get a little choke slam and a tombstone, and that is all that you will get.
Yeah.
That's literally what they did.
I just remembered. I'm pretty sure her name's was Nia Jax, I think. Remember how she's still in, remember how it was like 6 weeks straight of squash after squash after squash? Yes. She couldn't be beat, and they never pushed her.
Yes, it was wild. She just dominated everyone, and they were like, that's it. Goodbye. She had a few championship matches, but she could never win.
That's back to the bad diva writing. They can't write a good diva storyline. They can't. Yes. They don't know how. They just can't.
The people who get over, they turn them to heels. That's what they do. They start them off as a face. They get them up. Like, all the divas that are now heels, they were once faces. They were good guys. People liked them. They got over. And as they got over, WWE decided to turn him into a heel. And it works for like a week. And then all the fans realize that's stupid, because they suck as heels. They can't be heels. They're not good at it. Like, it just doesn't work that way.
and then no one likes him anymore. And WWE's like, well, come on, what do we do wrong? Like,
I don't know. Maybe you have a match that has three heels in it, and I mean, according to like 99% of all research and all storylines you wrote, you can't write a story between heels.
Yeah, three bad guys that are just being worse and worse to each other.
You have to have at least one good guy in a story. You can't have all three bad guys.
And whatever, see, they've tried stuff like that before. Whenever you try things between three bad guys or just two bad guys versus each other, or just a bad guy versus bad guy storyline, it has to be full of dirty shots and, you know, ferocious. It has to be ferocious. It has to be about intensity. You know, everything is very powerful. It's two behemoths going against each other. For this case, it'll have to be three behemoths. You know, they're all ferocious, violent.
Yes.
It's going to be an amazing match. But this, they're not good at heels. Their version of heels is, oh, I'm going to hit a few low blows, scratch an eye when the ref isn't looking, call each other trash, and that's it.
They haven't even done the low blows or the eye scratches. I haven't seen any of that. But had potential for this rivalry was the 3v3 tag team match that happened on SmackDown, which, again, I didn't get to watch, so I don't know if it was good or bad. But to me, that seemed like they could have done a bunch of stuff where there was a ton of conflict, and they all screwed each other over. But I didn't even watch it, but I can already assume that they worked together. They managed to work together. Ronda Rousey's probably the only one that put up a fight.
Yeah, it's like, it's just so confusing because there's no, like, backstabbing. There's no, oh, I'm going to sneak attack you backstage, or I'm going to destroy something that you have.
The only real drama in the rivalry is the Twitter between Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey. But WWE doesn't address that because that's a real thing that's happened. They're actually genuinely mad at each other. I think we need to move on from Divas, dude. We spent all our podcasts on this topic. You're cutting out. It is.
They do the stuff on that Divas. I don't know. It's just a letdown.
Look, let's move on to something
here's my idea. Here's how they could save this. They could put. So it's between Charlotte, who, and Ronda Rousey?
Becky Lynch.
So what they should have is they should have Ronda Rousey. Just one match, go eight. Like, actually beat up someone. Like, let's say she beats up Charlotte. Actually beats her up, like, real bad. And everyone's like, oh, that was a real heel thing to do. As she's leaving, Becky Lynch comes in to save said Charlotte. Attacks her. So that'll immediately put, you know, Becky Lynch as a face.
Which she originally was.
And they could have it that...
liked her as.
Yes. And they could have Charlotte during the vicious attack, which would put Ronda Rousey as a good heel. Let's say it's like a backstage attack, actually injure Charlotte. That means now Charlotte can't compete, and Charlotte has to vacate the title. Now the title is up for grabs in WrestleMania. You have a solid heel now who has just done something very bad and injured someone, and you have a face who came in to rescue. That would make more sense. It's a one-on-one main event.
Now we got a title match, a three-way WrestleMania with two titles in it.
Yes. Like, what is going on here?
I say
Charlotte, they're all bad guys.
Title. Charlotte's eliminated from WrestleMania. Unless
yeah.
I forgot the girl's name that had the SmackDown title.
Becky Lynch?
No, the one that Charlotte just won.
It was Asuka.
Yeah, Asuka. Another thing that WWE seems to forget is they say once you lose the title, you are guaranteed one rematch.
Yes! We have not seen any rematches recently.
That is in the contract. Once you win the title, you are guaranteed a rematch if you lose title. Asuka?
Yes.
WrestleMania?
Braun Strowman didn't get a rematch.
WrestleMania? takes that clause in
effect. That would be so much better.
We have two Divas matches.
Asuka is like, she's a high flyer. She's one of the few, she's a rare high flying woman. Like, you'd think the women would be more so high flyers, but they're, I don't know. They just try to make them, I guess, because they're fragile frames or something, but they're not. Asuka is a submission artist. She can do the high flying. She's a face. She's got a push behind her. It would make so much more sense to put her in the WrestleMania spotlight.
Say if WWE doesn't push her harder again, where she actually can keep the championship, she needs to go to New Japan.
She really does. She's probably going to end up leaving.
Like her most talent divas is do. Being wasted. Most divas, their talents, once they hit WWE, is completely wasted.
Yes, that is so true. There was a, I can't remember what her name was, but it was one WWE diva who walked out during a battle royale and she just quit right then. She was, you know who I'm talking about?
I don't.
It was during a 20 woman battle royale for the championship and she wasn't going to win. And she got mad and she just, in the middle of the match, she just went underneath the ropes and she just left. That was it. The commentator's trying to explain it. She went backstage, told Vince McMahon she quit, and she left. And right now, she is one of the greatest female wrestlers that in the world. It's like what happened with Cody Rhodes, how Cody Rhodes left, and now he's like the top five wrestlers in the entire world right now when it comes to fame.
I know he got fired for some reason.
They just let him go. They didn't feel like it was relevant.
They had a story where they just fired him.
Well, I know now he's like in a New Japan Wrestling and he's got white hair, or he's in some big brand and he is like, I think he's in the top five highest paid wrestlers in the world right now.
Honestly,
and he is
his old persona.
He's like the John
Dashing Cody Rhodes. It didn't work well.
No. This new one works perfectly. He's like a mega, just an icon.
He started to work right before he left WWE when they put him as Stardust.
Yeah, Stardust was interesting, but it kind of fit him.
Yeah, I don't think he
it was fun to watch.
He didn't like Stardust, but it
no, he did not work. Like Stardust at all.
If they would have had him, the Dashing Cody Rhodes, just because they had almost three characters that had the exact same. There was The Miz, there was Cody Rhodes, and there was Dolph Ziggler. They all basically had the same persona.
Yes, they really did.
I'm so full of myself, and I'm a pretty boy.
Yes, they were all the big guys. And the thing is, with Dolph Ziggler, eventually it changed. He was the pretty boy for a while, and then he became...
I like Dolph Ziggler's. I like his new persona. They're not pushing him anymore, but yes, few months where they were pushing him, Dolph Ziggler is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. I love Dolph Ziggler. And they gave him just a slight push, but didn't they gave up on it? His persona was really good.
The Miz, whatever it was, his pretty boy phase. He had it. But the Miz, it worked. It made sense. He was actually good looking, and he's a skilled fighter. He's amazing when it comes to promos. He can play that role pretty well. He's a douchebag, yes, but he plays the douchebag role well. So it makes sense to keep him at that role. Cody Rhodes as Dashing, he wasn't really Dash. He was more cunning. You know, he was going to betray you.
They
could have
done so many things with Cody Rhodes, considering his father is Dusty Rhodes. They could have done an arrogant persona with him, just being that Dusty Rhodes was his father.
Yes, but no, they just made him pretty boy. And then he broke his nose.
Being a third generation superstar, they could have done something with that.
Yeah, like they could have. There's so much possibility. But he did not do the Dashing well. Like, I wish they would have changed that before they did. Like, some people, a gimmick will work for a long time. But after a while, you need to change it up. when it comes to the Miz kind of changed up. He went from pretty boy, then he went to I'm awesome, which, you know, I'm pretty much better than everyone else. And then he went to movie star, but it's all kind of been the same
Miz,
thing.
Miz he's has the same persona. Miz like, hasn't changed. The only time he changed was that one week that he got fired and he became the nice guy trying to get his job back with R-Truth.
Yeah. Other than that, he's been like a heel. He's one of those rare people who have been something for their entire career. Like, the opposite of that, I found out, apparently, in Big Show's long career, 21 changes between him and I, which means that over the years, he averages. Robotic is this better?
Yeah. Sorry about that again. There is a time limit on our recording, but we're back again. This is our first one, so we have room.
Yeah.
But continue what you were saying.
Yeah. All right. So, as I was saying, one night, WWE decided it would be a good idea to make him change from heel to face twice in one night. In one night, he came in as a good guy. Well, no, he came in as a bad guy. Then he turned good guy at the beginning of the show, and he got into a fight as a good guy because he betrayed Vince McMahon, and he got fired. So he was a bad guy, betrayed Vince McMahon, came good guy, got fired. Then he came back later that night as a good guy, and the crowd erupted because they were like, whoa, he's back, even though he was just fired, but you know he's a good guy now. That's cool. And then Vince McMahon was like, you want your job back, beat up Rey Mysterio. So he beat up Rey Mysterio and became a bad guy. So he started the night off good guy, became good guy by betraying Vince McMahon, came back an hour later and rejoined Vince McMahon and became a bad guy again. And the fans were like, what the hell just happened? That doesn't make sense. And just as much confused as everyone else.
The next topic on our list, since we're winding down from the divas and such, what was your favorite championship? Like, out of all the ones that have existed, mine is the
I think
early mid 2000s heavyweight championship, when it was just the heavyweight championship and it was the gold one, and it was the iconic one. Everyone remembers it. It was like Edge had it, John Cena had it. Most notably, once again, Edge had it, my favorite wrestler. The second part to this is the favorite contender who held the championship, and that was Edge for me, when he had many runs as a heavyweight champion. He had the WWE at one point, which it fit him, but when I think of heavyweight, I just can't help but think of Edge, because he just, that belt he defined, it worked for him. That really was his title, his heavyweight championship, and that's my favorite one. What's your favorite one?
I think my favorite one is the WWE television championship held by Zack Ryder throughout his whole career. Fucking with you. That championship belonged to Zack Ryder for so long. They just changed it to a logo of Zack Ryder, and he was the only person to have it, but he lost it once during like a storyline, and that was it. No, but my favorite championship of all time, it's a toss-up between the WWE championship from 2000,
the one with the spinner in it,
four to two. Yeah, the one with the spinner, or the cruiserweight, and I'm gonna have to give it to the one with the spinner, mostly CM because Punk. That. Yeah, we have one reason to see CM Punk, of course, but it's also because as soon as they unveiled the championship with the spinner because of John Cena, that's right whenever John Cena became John Cena. If it wasn't for that, you know, people probably would have never bought into him because people just like the spinning. That was really it. They liked the spin, and it had more bling on it. And once you saw John Cena had it, then, you know, he became your hero. You know, you'd spin it because, you know, it spins.
Yeah.
That's really all it is. And
I have one of those in my closet. It made John Cena feel like it.
Then you see it also, it resulted in the push of, you know, Jeff Hardy, who won it. There were a lot of wrestlers who didn't win
guess
it.
Where he
like,
won it
you know,
at?
Like the Undertaker.
SummerSlam.
Of course, SummerSlam, because, you know.
That was his fucking pay-per-view. The Hardy Boys had SummerSlam. With its green and
another
blue
thing
logo.
About it,
logo.
I think another thing about it is it's never, like with the World Championship, that changed hands a lot. But what I don't really know if this is true, but for me, whenever I think of a spinner belt, I can't really put my finger on any people who had it and didn't have it for a long time. Like, even Jeff Hardy had that belt for like 2 or 3 months. Like, he defended it.
Yeah.
And I can't think of anyone who had the championship. Like, with the World Championship, they did. They had, like, the people who would lose it, like when Daniel Bryan lost it in 11. No, it was big. No, Mark Henry lost it in 11 seconds.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, they had a lot of people who would lose it. It was a great championship. But it was more, it was a storyline builder. And I don't really know how to explain it, but it just, that championship, it held so much. You know, it's a WWE championship.
Yeah.
It contributed so much. And, you know, I'm a CM Punk fan. Whenever I think of the spinner belt, I think of, you know, CM Punk
fucking
and
walking
SummerSlam.
Out.
Yeah. No, it was the Money in the Bank walking out with it, clutching it. And then, you know, 2 months later, coming back with two of those championships. And everyone being like, what's going on? Plus, I really like the design of it. I don't like the new championship look because it doesn't spin. And that's really what I'm looking for.
Bring back the spinner titles.
Yeah, if it spins, I'll like
you,
it.
You don't push wrestlers. Push spin titles.
If they put the spin
you
title
put
in,
the
if they had the women's division, put a spin title in there, I would have no complaints.
You can
we could main event every pay-per-view from here on out.
You can put a championship on any wrestler, but if it doesn't spin, it won't work. But if it spins, it will work on anyone you put it on.
It really will. Oh, and my favorite champion to hold it is obviously Santino Marella. Whenever he held it, I don't think he ever did. It would be a CM Punk, honestly.
Speaking of the cruiserweight,
he held it for like
that you brought up earlier. They haven't done shit with the new cruiserweight.
How about Eddie Guerrero? Kidding. What were you saying?
The new cruiserweight championship that they put in a few, like I think it was a year or two ago. They haven't done anything with it recently. It's just been sitting there.
Oh my god. It blows because they have. I know in recent times it puts on great matches, but really when I think cruiserweight championship, it's literally Adrian Neville. That's it. That's all I can
I
think
love
of
Adrian Neville. I
because
remember Neville's debut match in WWE.
I love him too, but there was a time where it was like 7 months straight he beat the same two guys.
It's because for some
every
for
single
some
time
reason, WWE doesn't want to hire cruiserweights.
They don't. They really don't. And whenever they do have cruiserweights, they're not good. They're mistake prone. They mess up too much.
Maybe that's why they don't want to hire them. But if they would hire more of them, you know how the ratings would go up so fucking drastically.
Well, they do have 205 Live, which is nothing but cruiserweight.
But it's not televised publicly. You have to have WWE Network to watch it. You can't just flip through your, like, SmackDown Raw. You can flip through your channels, find it. You can't fucking watch 205 Live just scrolling through your TV. WWE needs more on-air stuff. Bring back Monday Night War. That's what I want. I want Monday Night War back. I want Raw versus WCW.
I want it
Bring
now.
Back
DX. is you want more cruiserweights pushed because they only push one cruiserweight, and that's Neville. I can't name another cruiserweight that they pushed. They tried.
They haven't pushed him in about 2 years.
Yes, and all of his opponents, they didn't push the opponents. Why would you? They would push Adrian Neville during the rivalry, but his opponent was like just some random guy. And it was just Neville beating up a bunch of people, and he's like, and on Sunday, I'll beat up so-and-so. And people are like, oh, you're fighting him? I thought you were fighting this other guy. I'm a bad. Like, they would not push his opponent. They need
to bring back
– so people
want bring in some more luchas, too.
Yes, that's Sin Cara. Sin Cara is really good, mistake-prone. They brought in Rey Mysterio. He's really good, but he's older. But he's still exciting.
But he's a murderer.
And for some reason, they're not pushing him. Yeah. For some reason, they're not pushing Rey Mysterio, and I can't explain. Like, every single time he goes out there, everyone – a huge crowd pop, everyone loves him. It'd be amazing to see him a champion, but yeah, they won't do it.
Give him the cruiserweight. They won't push him.
That would be amazing. Him versus Neville would be outstanding.
What happened to Kalisto? Is he still a thing?
I don't know.
I know they pushed Kalisto once and gave him a title, but he didn't know how to promo.
And that was the year that he – that was the year that he did the fucking the neck breaker off the ladder through a ladder.
Yeah, he didn't know how to promo, so like, okay, he can't have it.
So they took it from him. It was wild.
I remember when they were trying to push Neville to get the I think it was either the heavyweight or WWE, but they just wouldn't let him. They kept pulling off stupid like he went against Seth Rollins, and they completely cheated him out of it. I remember the referee even made a mistake. Seth Rollins didn't pull up his shoulder in time. It was a botch. And the ref pulled up his hand saying a two count, even though he said the two count. And then Seth Rollins pulled up his shoulder. They completely botched that. And if they would have botched that, it would have been fine. Like, maybe they...
Oh, did you see... Oh, shit. Yeah, continue.
Maybe they did it to heighten drama. But it looked like a really bad botch. It looked like he was meant to kick out on two, and the ref saw that he wasn't going to, and the ref's like, oh, it's not supposed to end this way. Pull out.
Yeah. Did you see how Finn Balor, for like so long, he won the championship, and his is another thing. It's another... example of how kayfabe is dead. How well he lost a championship, and everyone loves Finn Balor. They just love him, and everyone was like, "All right." So the storyline at the time was very good. If you remember, it was a very good storyline. Bunch of drama, big betrayals. It was nice. And then after he lost it, people were like, "Well, we want to see more of it." And they immediately stopped it. As soon as it was over, they gave him no rematch. They gave him no more rivalry. He started feuding with someone else for, I think, the Intercontinental title that he didn't even win. Or no, he just messed around in the singles. And they put the other guy, who I believe was like, I want to say Kevin Owens, but I don't know if that's right. They put him against someone else.
Remember when Bobby Roode was champion?
That was horrible. Dark day.
To like the 3 weeks he was champion and no one remembers that he had a reign in WWE. Because Triple A's like, he's doing good in NXT. Let's bring him up main roster. Let's immediately push him. Pushes him. Fans are like, the fuck is this guy? No.
It's a... What was it? So for what's another topic? We'll do two more topics and then we'll end it.
Hold on, my fucking head itches. I had something in mind. Elias as the musical guest to WrestleMania.
Oh my God.
Because WWE's cheap and isn't going to hire anyone.
Oh, I got the next thing we talk about, but this is retarded. Why, Dave? I don't understand it. Why would they just be like, we're going to have Elias? Elias
what the frights plays, of
Elias plays guitar and sings about how he doesn't like people. That is it. That's all he does.
He does stereotypical hill songs on his guitar, like, oh, your state sucks.
Yeah. Yes. And I don't know how they're going to do that. How is he going to do an entire performance? Is he going to do covers of a song? Is he going to make his own songs?
Honestly, he doesn't even play that good.
No, he's...
I can sit around and play three chords too, and I can special guest WrestleMania as the musical.
Yeah, I think they should put someone up there, like, you know, maybe a Metallica. They should put Kurt Cobain and Nirvana up there. That'd be really cool.
Push the frights.
Yeah, they could have Kurt Cobain and Nirvana, and they could have a special guest referee match within the special guest referee will be Owen Hart, and between Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit. That would be a great match.
The match is between the triple threat, it's a handicap match. It's a heroin and shotgun versus Cobain.
Yeah.
It's one-on-one Hardy versus Cobain for heroin.
It's a handicap match. It's a no sense of fear and a shit ton of drugs versus Jeff Hardy.
It's
the floor versus Jeff Hardy.
All right. We got the musical guest topic. What's your topic? So we can, my call final one is,
what do you think about Dean Ambrose leaving WWE after WrestleMania? He's already said he's going to. How do you think WWE is going to play that out?
I think that they're going to play Lunatic Fringe card as normal every time, and he's going to lose because he's lost every match against this opponent up to this point.
Damn. I would like – what I think they're going to do is they're probably going to make him either attack someone he shouldn't attack, and they're going to fire him at WrestleMania, and it'll crush his little dreams, and he'll never go back. Or they could fake a serious injury, like he can't wrestle anymore, so he can go fight somewhere else. Or they'll do a retire. They could make him go against The Undertaker, and they can make The Undertaker, like, retire him, I guess.
Yeah.
Which would be weird, but that seems like something they do.
Honestly,
I really hope they do a storyline. I'm kind of scared of them doing is, what if they just don't do anything and they let him go quietly? That is not how I want Dean Ambrose's long career as, you know, a main eventer to just end.
Dean Ambrose is probably my second or third favorite wrestler. I love Dean Ambrose. I followed his entire career. He has so much potential. He is more than the Lunatic Fringe. How many pushes has he had in his career? Like three?
Yeah.
The
pushes were good.
They were good pushes, no. But he needs more. He is an amazing superstar. He can promo like the greatest. Like, yeah. They have some clips of his promos where they're off camera, and they're amazing. He can promo. He has mic skill. He is an outstanding wrestler. He reminds me of the hardcore. He reminds me of hardcore era. They could slap a hardcore championship on him. That's the perfect reason to bring back the hardcore title. They could slap it on Dean Ambrose. He would be perfect with it. He does that stuff. He's not afraid to. If he leaves WWE, he needs to go to another wrestling place because he is an amazing wrestler. WWE doesn't know what they're losing.
I really don't. And I think the fact that he does all this, like you just said, and he hates his role. Like he said, that's why he's leaving. So the fact that while he hates this role he has to play, and he's still going out there
doing
the role that he hates so well, even though he despises it, just shows the type of sportsmanship and the love of wrestling that he has. It's incredible. I wish WWE would have given him a new role.
If WWE is smart, before he leaves, they will offer him a role change and keep him from leaving. They will give him a new contract, better role, and whatever he fucking wants. Because he could be the face of the company. Not Brock Lesnar. Seth Rollins had his run. Not John Cena.
He did.
No, I swear to God, they're going to try to push Roman Reigns again. They're going to. They're going to try to push
Seth Rollins. Oh, my God, I know.
And if Seth Rollins doesn't work, they're going to bring Roman Reigns right back out.
I know what they're going to do. Is because of his leukemia, what they're going to do is whatever he's completely done with it, that'll be the leukemia comeback. So I know there's another big push coming for Roman Reigns. I just know it is. They're going to do that because it's going to be like, he came back from leukemia and he still won.
Everyone from the show, except Dean Ambrose, has been the face of the company at one point or another. Dean Ambrose is the only member of the Shield that has not been the face of the company.
Even when Dean Ambrose was champion, Roman Reigns was already the holder of the other championship belt, and he was called the face of the company. Even whenever Dean Ambrose had his spotlight as the champion, there was someone else who was bigger and better than him. So he's never had that time. They've never given him that time as top dog. He's always either been second or he hasn't been anywhere close.
The thing is, too, most of the matches I watch, he loses them. And he's perfectly – I know most superstars aren't going to go out there night in, night out, and lose more matches than they win. But Dean Ambrose does that happily.
Yeah, he just loves to wrestle.
He's
a performer.
Raw, he lost. He lost the two matches before that. He's lost every big championship match he's been in, but he goes out there night in, night out, and puts in the work. He's on almost every single episode of Raw, but he's not the champion. He needs to leave. They either need to realize that they need to push him, or he's going to get pushed somewhere else, and it's going to work.
It really is. You want to wrap it up now?
Yeah, that was my rant on Dean Ambrose.
All right, well, this was the Vertical Base podcast. Pretty long, pretty lengthy. It was pretty fun. We hope you'll tune in for more podcasts that we make down in the future. And don't forget to tell your friends all about us. Help us grow a bit.
We have a SoundCloud a YouTube channel besides this app.
Which we will hopefully upload this on, correct?
Yes, we will. I'm going to, as soon as this is over, start working on the audio after I get my shower.
Yep, we'll talk to you guys later.
See ya.
Peace.
Tune in next time. Dean Ambrose is great. Bye.